150. If you need a little help, that's the last one. Psalm 150. It has been a wonderful day. I hope you've been able to spend the day with us and enjoy the fellowship over these next few weeks. Don't expect everything to be exactly the same. We'll have some exciting things to do, some things to share. In fact, this will be the first one that's different. Remind our deacons meeting that got postponed last week, we're going to meet Tuesday night this week after the Tuesday night service. How about that for being different? All right. So Tuesday night after the Tuesday night service, we'll have our deacons meeting that we missed last Sunday. So we'll go from there. All right. So if you have, I know you've excited about all the things that may be happening the next few weeks, and we want to make sure that we've got everything in perspective. Psalm 150. What a wonderful psalm this is. And it's one of those that brings a delight to our ears whenever we hear it. It has been referred to as the Hallelujah Chorus of the Book of Psalms. I love the Hallelujah Chorus. Handel's Messiah is one of my favorite pieces of music. I have it on CD that some wonderful person gave me in this church. And I love to listen to the entire musical score of Handel's Messiah. Somebody asked me one time, says, well, it takes two CDs to put it all on there. And they said, well, how long is it? I said, I think it's about 6 days, 14 hours, and 27 minutes to listen to all of it. But the final climax of that musical piece is the well-known Hallelujah Chorus. And what a beautiful piece of music that is. You know, the Bible does tell us in Psalm 102:18 that we are created to praise the Lord. And that's why we're here. We are created to praise the Lord. And I think it's very important for us to understand the importance of praise. The book of Psalms begins in Psalm 1 with God blessing man, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You remember that. But the book of Psalms ends with man blessing God. And Psalm 150 is just one of those beautiful psalms. I wanted to share it with you tonight as we prepare for a week of thanksgiving and praise. And if you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God as we read this beautiful psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Tonight on this week, as we begin a week of thanksgiving, should be something that's part of our lives every day. But as we pause and have a time of a break from the regular routines, time with family and friends and food and fellowship, I pray that we'll remember that the ultimate praise and thanksgiving should be to you. We are thankful tonight. You've blessed us more than we ever deserve. And we ask you to continue, Lord, to bless us as you see fit. And we want you to know, Lord, that we're thankful for everything you've given us. And Lord, if you don't give us another single thing, we can stand here tonight, every single one of us, and say, praise the Lord for all that you've done. In these few moments we have around the Word of God tonight, pray be a blessing and encouragement in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I took Greek class in college and seminary, the word in classical Greek for the word man is anthropos. You may have heard that, anthropology, anthropos. And the word literally means upward looker. That's what anthropos means, an upward looker. Man was created to praise God. Man was created, the very word means to look up to God. That's the wording there. I heard a story one time of a farmer, old country farmer, went to the restaurant in town to eat lunch. He sat down, and when his meal came, he bowed his head and gave thanks for his meal. Fellow sitting over at the other table began to make fun of the old farmer and laugh at him. And when he finished his prayer, he asked him, he said, "Farmer, does anything else down on the farm do that before they eat?" Without looking up, the old farmer replied, "Well, pigs don't, but man does." The old fella was given the indication that if you want to be a pig and act like a pig, don't give thanks for your food. But if you want to be a created follower of God, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to praise Him for. And when we look at this psalm, and as we gather around the Word of God tonight, as it is entitled to of praising the Lord, and it's intended to guide us to look toward Him for praise and honor, I just want to share just a few things here tonight, and a couple things under each point that will help us to understand. Notice number one, the Hallelujah chorus of this book of Psalms reminds us that praise should be vocalized. We should praise the Lord. Notice in the very first sentence, "Praise ye the Lord." The last phrase of the last verse, "Praise ye the Lord." That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And the word "praise the Lord," that phrase, is the same word in the Hebrew that we get the word "hallelujah." Now, the word "hallelujah" is transliterated in every language exactly the same. Amber can go to Rwanda tonight, and she can say "hallelujah." And the only word for their language is "hallelujah." They say the same thing. I did not believe that until the missionary told the story of getting an opportunity to go to the mission field, and he encountered one of the guys as he was learning the language. The guy recognized something about him being a Christian, and he looked at him and he said, "Hallelujah." And the old fellow looked back at the missionary and said, "Well, hallelujah." And they stood there for about 10 minutes, and that's all they said, "Hallelujah." Back and forth, "Hallelujah." And that is what the word means. Praise the Lord means hallelujah. And when we are vocalizing our praise, on the next slide, we realize that this word, this phrase, "praise the Lord," is used in three different ways. It's used as an exclamation of wonder. When we say "hallelujah," it is like saying "wow" to God. Now be careful that we don't use this carelessly. When we say "hallelujah," we should be saying "hallelujah" to God for something He's done that is worthy of a wow. It's hard to wow us sometimes in our culture today, isn't it? I mean, we've seen it all. We've heard it all. It's hard to wow us sometimes. But I think our God is really worthy of a wow tonight. I think He's worthy of our hallelujahs. A hallelujah is also an expression of worship. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know how to worship." Hey, you just say praise to God, and that's all He needs tonight. It's an expression of worship. It's an exhortation to the worshipers. It's an encouragement for somebody else to jump in there and share their hallelujah. I love it when somebody says amen. You know what? Somebody right after them says it too. I love it. You ever gone to a preacher's meeting, an old time camp meeting? One preacher gets excited, about 10 of them will jump right in there and go right after him. They wait till the other one gets started. I don't know why, but they just wait till the other one gets started. But it's an exhortation to the worshipers. When you praise God, when you vocalize your praise, it's an encouragement to everyone else around you. If nothing else, it helps make sure they're still awake. Amen? But here's the thing that I want you to remember from this first point tonight. When we vocalize our praise, when we praise the Lord, whether we say hallelujah, whether we say praise the Lord, whether we say amen, however we word it, I want you to remember this. The only thing that we can give God that He doesn't already possess is our praise to Him. Amen. Now think about that tonight. That, buddy, that'll put the gravy on the turkey, amen? I'm telling you what's the truth. That'll do it right there. The only thing that we can give God that He doesn't already possess is the praise that we have for Him. And that's the one thing He desires from you more than anything tonight, is His praise. So when we vocalize our praise, that brings us to number two. Let's begin to look at this psalm. Let's analyze the praise tonight. Let's analyze this praise. Where do we praise the Lord? Well, in verse 1 tells us where. Tells us where. Praise Him in the sanctuary. That is the sacred auditorium below. I love walking into the house of God because it's a place to praise the Lord. This is God's house. I know it's a building. It's brick, it's mortar, it's sheetrock, it's plaster and paint and everything else that goes into it. But this is a place set aside to praise the Lord. It is a sacred auditorium. We ought to treat it that way. We ought to remember it that way. It's a sacred place. He says to praise Him in the sanctuary, that sacred auditorium below. But notice He also says to praise Him in the firmament of His power. That is the spacious auditorium above. Praise Him wherever you are. Praise Him out. And when we're outside and we look up into the heavens the other night, people are all getting excited about the supermoons. You get to see the supermoons through all the smoke and through all the density there. And, you know, they talk about the last time the moon was that close at full moon, that bright, was in 1948, I believe it was. That's the year Israel became a nation, an independent nation on their own. And it won't be that way for many more years, whenever that might be. I'm not sure how long it's going to be. I stood there and looked at that moon, and I thought, well, looks just like the moon to me, but if it's closer, if it's brighter, God bless them. I appreciate them telling us that. But you know what? What I stood there and looked at, and I thought, I wonder what the atheists are thinking tonight. How can that moon be in such an orbit that it doesn't hit the earth or hit anything else? And the sun and the stars are all in alignment, and they're all in the right place, and they stay that way. And anybody that looks up and says that there's no God, I tell you what, you hadn't looked up much lately. All you got to do is look at God's creation. The spacious auditorium above is where we praise Him. Not only where do we praise Him, but notice why we should praise Him. Notice in verse 2 there, letter B, the next slide. Why should we praise Him? Verse 2 tells us we praise Him for His mighty acts. The psalmist says mighty acts. Now, he could have very well just said, praise Him for His acts. Because isn't everything that God does mighty? I mean, everything that God does is great. But would you think about the things that you could describe as mighty acts of God? Just think about the day you got saved. That's a mighty act. Think about how God brought you through a difficult time. How about God providing for? How about maybe God keeping you safe in a terrible situation, protecting and saving you from injury and harm? His mighty acts. We could praise Him for His mighty acts, and we could make a list all day long, but notice the next part of verse 2. We praise Him for His excellent greatness. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Now, I remember in English in high school and in college classes as well, our English teachers would emphasize in specific words to describe things. Oh, they'd be very, you know, very picky about how we describe things. Don't just say, oh, it's good. Tell it how good it was. Don't say it's just great. Tell how great it was. The psalmist says it's not just praising for His greatness, but praising for His excellent greatness. Now, there's just no way you could get any better than excellent great. You can't go below that because everything great that God does is excellent. Amen? Just think about the excellent greatness and all the great things that He has done for you. I heard my pastor say one time that if you begin to follow the words of that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. He said by the time you get to where you think you're at the end of the list, you know what will happen? you'll remember something else you forgot, and you'll just keep adding to that list. And you'll just keep adding to that list, and you'll just keep adding to that list, and that list will never stop because Jesus of his excellent greatness. And praise him tonight for his mighty acts. That's why we should praise him. It's because of all the mighty things he's done, because of the excellent greatness that he has. But how do we go about praising him? And I'll tell you, letter C here in verses 3 through 5 tells us how we do this. Now, if you want to get into an argument in Christian circles today, this is where you get into all kinds of arguments. What is appropriate and what is not? And if you want to get into some controversy, you just start telling somebody that what they're doing is not really praising God. Now, buddy, you'll start a fight right there. That'll do it quicker than putting a fox in the hen house, all right? You just going to have problems. But notice he tells us how we should praise the Lord. He says, praise him with a trumpet call. Now, I love trumpets, and God loves trumpets. Trumpets have a prominent place in the Word of God. And there's something about the trumpet and calling to worship and calling to battle. And it's the first instrument mentioned here, but it's not the only one. Praise him with all the other instruments, he says, and with the psaltery and with a harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance and stringed instruments. And in verses 3 through 4, it's those triumphant chords. It's all the instruments. Listen, if you've got a bucket or a jug, blow it up to praise the Lord. Amen? Just use it. You can do like the Darlings, you know, just a 1 and a 2 and a 1 and a 2, and there you go. If that's all you got. I know one kind. Listen, I saw a fella come, no kidding, came to our church years ago. And he played the spoons. Have you ever seen anybody play the spoons? I thought the spoons were for cereal in the morning or grits or something. But he played. Now, I never seen anybody play spoons like this guy played spoons. Now, buddy, he could play a tune and he could play spoons like you wouldn't believe. He'd knock your socks off playing spoons. But he played spoons, praise the Lord. And now listen, I don't care if you play spoons, if you play the harmonica, I don't care if you play your nose, whatever it is. Play just whatever it is, you can praise the Lord with any kind of instrument. Back in the 1600s, in the early days of this country, before Revolutionary War and as this country was being settled, they were coming to this country for freedom of religion. Well, once they got here, they found that there were other folks of different faiths who wanted freedom of religion too. So everybody began persecuting the others. Baptists were greatly persecuted in New England in the mid to late 1600s. I mean persecuted to the point of prison and torture and even death because of their Baptist faith and their Baptist tradition. But do you realize that in the late 1600s, the greatest controversy in Baptist churches, it wasn't over some doctrinal issue. It wasn't over the inspiration of the Bible. It wasn't over salvation. Do you know what it was? The greatest controversy in Baptist churches in the late 1600s was whether it was appropriate to have congregational singing in the public worship services. You had one Baptist down the road that didn't believe in congregational singing. And that was the quietest church you'd ever heard of. And the church up the road, they were the ones who believed in congregational singing. And buddy, they'd let it rip and they'd sing loud so the crowd down the street would hear them. And that was the great controversy. Now, I dare you to find a Baptist church today that has a public worship service that there's not any congregational singing of any kind. Yeah, you can't find it. We can't even think about having a service without somebody like Jeannie and Vicky up here leading us and singing in worship. We just cannot fathom that. But nearly 400 years ago, that was the great controversy. The Bible says right here in this Hallelujah chorus that we're to take the trumpet and all the string instruments and all the things that we can find, and we're to play them, even the loud cymbals. And the high-sounding cymbals. I don't know the difference between the loud and the high-sounding. We're going to have to get somebody like Andrew Sheriff, who's on the drum line at Clemson University, to tell us the difference in that. But even if you just do like Barney Fife in the band, and just walk around with the cymbals and blam, 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 if that's praising the Lord, then have at it. The point is this. It's not how talented or how gifted you may feel you are with some kind of musical instrument. I'll be honest with you. I can't do what Vicky and Jenny do on these boxes back here. I've tried. I really want to learn guitar. That's the instrument I really want to learn to play. I played trumpet all my life. I really want to learn guitar. I wish I could find a way to learn guitar. I'd play guitar. I'd sit around and I'd get Andy Griffith shows and I'd just play along with Andy if I could. I would do that. I really would. I'd love to play the guitar. I'd find a way to do it. But if I did it right now, they wouldn't, nobody want me to play the guitar. They'd tell me to stop. But you are to take and praise the Lord in any way that you can find. Praise Him. Don't let anybody tell you you can't praise the Lord in a certain way. You praise Him. And make sure you're praising Him and not praising you. Okay? Too many people want to draw attention to themselves with their singing or their musical instruments or in their performance or whatever they do. They're bringing attention to themselves. That's not praising the Lord. That's praising you. You get up and praise the Lord, let God get all the glory and results for it. Amen? That's the analyzing of our praise. But let's get it down to verse 6. Let's close with this. Let's personalize the praise. The praise that is personalized. Verse 6. So who is to do the praising? Is it just the worship leaders like Jenny and the pastor and the musicians and the choir? I thank God for a choir. I missed y'all this morning. Filling up here. It really was. To hear just me and Monty up here singing was kind of wasn't as good. All right? I love Monty. Don't get me wrong. I love Monty. But it's different when we don't have all those beautiful voices up here. It's different. I missed y'all. And but who is to do the praising? Not just music. Gifted, talented musicians. Not just gifted, talented preachers. Not just those, but who? Verse 6 tells us, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything. All of God's living creation. Everything that breathes is created to praise the Lord. He said, preacher, I can't sing. Well, nobody said you had to sing. Just had to praise the Lord. Now, you can hum real good. Go ahead. Well, we won't mind that at all. I used to serve with a pastor, and I'm not going to tell you which one it was because y'all know him, and I used to be his associate, and I'd stand beside him and during worship services and everything, and if there was a song that he didn't know, which was about half of them, he didn't know because he wasn't musically inclined. He'll tell you that. And about halfway through the first verse, I'd realize that he didn't know the song. And I'd hear I'd hear the other guy. Sorry. I know you know who it is now. I'd hear him over there, and he'd be going, da 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 da. And he's carrying the, he knows the tune, he just doesn't know the words. And he doesn't know how to sing the words. And da 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 da. So I felt kind of foolish, you know, singing all the words on pitch, on tune, on key, right notes and everything else. So I just close up my book and I just da 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 with him. And we just da 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 together, you know. That's just the way it was. Had the greatest time in the world. It really was. It was just hilarious. Drove the music director crazy, by the way. And but we are the ones who are gifted because we're breathing to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You've got something to praise the Lord about today. You've got something to worship Him about. You've got something to glorify Him for. And if you think that you don't, then you have a serious spiritual problem that you need to get on the altar and get before the Lord and ask God to forgive you of that. And then just turn around and just start praising Him and just see how long it takes you to realize how much it is that you're blessed and how much He's worthy of our praise tonight. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, in conclusion, I read a story one time of a person at the post office had seen this come through. This is a true story, evidently. And you remember when it was popular when you'd send mail? By the way, you know people still send mail. I don't know if you knew that or not. The mail does run. In fact, I had somebody tell me this afternoon that they were driving wherever they were going, and they passed the United States Postal Service mail truck with a mail carrier delivering mail today on a Sunday afternoon. I cannot believe, I know they must have just got lost yesterday. I don't know. And it must have took them this long to figure out where they were going. Bless their hearts. But there used to be a day when we sent mail. I mean, now you young people don't know this, but there are things called envelopes and stamps. You lick a stamp and put it on it, and that means you paid for it, and you'd write an address on the front of it, and you put your return address. Remember how we had to learn that in high school classes, typing classes and all those? We had to use proper y'all remember those things, yeah. And it was just a great thing, and you put stuff in an envelope, and you put it in the box outside your house, and somebody actually comes and picks it up. And they deliver it. It's called the mail. It's United States Postal Service. It used to be a very big business. But it used to be real popular for people to write notes on the outside of envelopes. Now, Laura, you worked at the post office. You know what I'm talking about. And people put stickers, and they put stamps, and they draw pictures and everything else. United States Postal Service got tired of that, and they started charging extra postage on people if they had too much stuff on it because they couldn't read where the address was that they're supposed to deliver. People like Laura worked at the post office. He had to find out where it goes. Am I right? I mean, so there was one time that this lady loved to write on the envelopes that she would mail out her bills or mail out letters or cards to people, and she'd write on the outside of the envelopes, "Keep on praising Him." Well, you could tell she was just excited about the Lord. "Keep on praising Him" was what she'd write. She got one of those back in the mail one day. Postal Service sent it back to her. And they'd written right across the front of that envelope under those words, "Keep on praising Him," they wrote these words, "Contrary to regulations," and sent her letter back and wouldn't mail it because she had written on it. Now, you know what? A lot of people live their Christian lives exactly like that, as if praising God is contrary to regulations. They go to church week after week, and they sit there and look like they've been sucking on pickles all day. They look like that they hadn't had anything happy to happen to them since Carter was president. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they just sit there like nothing good is ever going. And you just wonder what in the world it would take to move somebody like that. They act like that it praising God is contrary to regulations. The Bible tells us everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. So before you dig into your turkey and your stuffing and your cranberry and your pumpkin pies this week, take some time to praise Him. In fact, a good way to do it, just read Psalm 150. If you can download the Hallelujah Chorus on your devices and listen to just the that one doesn't take as long. It's just one song as far as the whole piece of music of Handel's Messiah. Just spend some time praising God. Would you join me in prayer as we stand? As we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You have given us so much to praise You for. We're grateful for Your blessings. We're grateful for what You've done for us personally, from our salvation to our security. Lord, we thank You that You've given us clothes to wear and food to eat. We thank You that You've given us a good, wonderful church family. We could come here week after week after week, and we could praise You and worship You and fellowship with God's people. We praise You for the Word of God. We praise You for the cross. We praise You for heaven. We praise You for the joy that is set before us and looking forward to the day that we'll get to spend all of eternity praising You. So, Lord, I pray that this week will be a week of more than about some of the things of tradition, but may it be a time of praising You, and we just want to praise You tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving if I won't see you Tuesday night.